This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. I'm T. Shao-ik with Lim Soo Ann and Shamila Gunnison. It's the eve of Hari Raya and we discussed some of our much beloved Raya traditions in our earlier story. So what would yours be?
Yeah, so we were asking you that earlier on Twitter, what you look forward to the most during Hari Raya. 62% of you have now voted that it's food with...
It hasn't changed from earlier.
No. That's far ahead of the others.
Yes, because the next one is 23% at family time with an 11% with open houses and 4% baju raya.
I like how we Malaysians really think with our stomach.
Maybe we can make the allowance that food involves family.
Involves family. Yes, that's true.
Food is what brings us all together.
Yes, that's right.
So keep those thoughts coming in on Twitter at BFM Radio or on WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. And now, before we really get into our second story, let's listen to this adorable six-year-old boy.
Okay, pneumonoultramicroscopic telecomokinoconiosis. PNEUMONOULTRAMICROSCOPICIS. Pneumonoultramicroscopic telecomokinoconiosis.
That was Akash Bukoti, who's six years old from Texas, in a Vox video before he went for the preliminary rounds of the Scripps National Spelling Bee back in 2016. Okay, so actually he was 6 years old three years ago.
Yep.
So that word again is pneumonoultramicroscopic silicovolcanoconiosis.
I would ask you to spell it, but you can obviously see the word, so that's not fair.
So why are we talking about this? Well, last week, the 2019 edition of the Bee held its final rounds, which ended in an 8-way tie. And this is the first time that this has ever happened in the 94-year history of the Bee.
Yes. So those 8 winners were Rishik Gandhasri, Aaron Howard, Sakit Sundar, Shrutika Padi, Soham Sukantankar, Abhijay Kodali, Christopher Sarau, and Rojan Raja. And they all combined to spell the final 47 words correctly over 5 consecutive perfect rounds, which lasted more than 3.5 super tense hours. Everyone outspelling each other.
It's an extreme sport.
Yes, quite. I feel tired just listening to it. Basically, these 8 kids literally beat the dictionary.
They did.
Yeah.
So here's a Cheddar Explains video giving you some background about the Scripps Bee.
The Scripps National Spelling Bee is an iconic competition with over 11 million students from across the country competing against the dictionary. They're all wrestling for the top prize of the title, the trophy, and, of course, $50,000. Since Scripps took over the Bee in 1941 with only 28 spellers, it's only gotten more and more competitive, and now 500 kids take the final stage. And once ESPN picked up coverage in 1994, that was it. Spellers were cemented as athletes. Because it's on ESPN, that must make it an athletic event, right?
Well, I think that the word athlete goes back to a Greek word, which means a prize winner. And so you can be an athlete in anything where you win a prize.
That's Dr. Jacques Bailey, the 1980 National Spelling Bee champion.
And Dr. Bailey is the official pronouncer of the Bee and has been for many years running.
Yes.
He pronounces the words.
Yeah, so at last week's final, he told the hall that they were running out of words to challenge the spellers, who he said were the most phenomenal collection of super spellers in the history of this competition. And he also added that we're basically throwing the dictionary at you, and so far you're showing the dictionary who is boss.
I love everything about this story. It's fun.
You know, who is boss? These 8, young, nerdy-looking kids, right? But that's how the final ended up with 8 co-champions, basically. But if you look back, co-champions are not actually unprecedented in the U.S. Scripps Bee. From 2014 to 2016, the Bee ended in ties 3 years in a row. And that was actually a sign that the best spellers in the U.S. were actually getting too good for the Bee. So sort of recognizing recognizing that, I suppose the organizers set rules for this year's B, which called for at most 3 co-champions. Mm. But they had to come up with a contingency plan for more winners, which they developed on the fly on Thursday afternoon after B officials, I love that, evaluated Speller's performance in the early final rounds, where they were already showing signs of being able to beat, the game. And even so, though, the rule change was a surprise to the final 8, but they breezed through it and declared themselves the Octo Champs.
<That's> so cute.
Just love that, yeah. Spelling B winners who make up new words. And what's great is that they will actually each receive the full winner's purse of $50,000 rather than a divided share of that amount.
Wow. That's pretty hefty for a spelling bee, no?
Yep.
And it's a long, arduous process to get to these final rounds. The kids first compete at school, then district and state levels before they can advance to the national levels. And there are also written tests that cover more than just spelling.
Yeah, and how do these spellers prepare for this extreme sport? Well, is it just memorizing 500,000 words? Well, again, let's turn to that same Cheddar Explains video where they looked at how the 2014 co-champion Sriram Hathwar trained. You'll also hear Dr. Jacques Bailey explaining how spellers actually learn about these words.
There's a ton of preparation that goes into getting ready for the B. In Sriram's case, he studied 480,000 words for 7 years, 2 hours a day, flipping through the 3,000 pages of the dictionary. But just reading through the dictionary isn't enough. One of the largest misconceptions is that it's all about memorization.
So the thing about memorization, it's great if you get a word that you've seen. But you're not preparing for the word that you've already seen. You're preparing for the one you haven't seen. And for that one, memorization doesn't work.
What Dr. Bailey is referring to is etymology, the study of the origin of words. English words are directly influenced by foreign languages. By tracing those origins, spellers can pick up on clues as to how those words are spelled. For example, using the winning word from the 2013 B.
Knadel.
Knadel.
Knowing that the word is German-derived Yiddish, he knows the word is more likely to start with a K than a C, based on the spelling patterns from that language. And he knows it will end in an EL, like the German word pretzel. If you've tuned into the broadcast on ESPN, you might have noticed all the questions that the children ask after they approach the mic.
Canado, may I have the language of fortune, please?
Can you please repeat both pronunciations?
May you give me all the information you have in this word, please?
May I have the definition?
So, definition, language origin, other pronunciations, and all the other information. This is what the kids will ask, or contestants will ask, when they are given a word, so that they can sort of search back in their little mental dictionary to figure out how that word is spelled. And if you've watched a B before, you'll see them going through that mental process, and some of them, like, they're sort of writing it on their hands. Mm. Or I've seen a girl even sort of making the typing motions as well, like, yeah, how she would type it if she had a computer in front of her.
It's almost like tracing what that word would be,
yes,
through all of this different information, right?
Yes, yeah, that's right. So it's very true. It's not just about memorizing. It's when you've got all that information, then you can figure out what the word is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it does strike me that organizers have to be very careful with subjective definitions. I wanted to share a story that a friend told us yesterday. She had attended a spelling bee here in Malaysia and was given the word Mary. And when she asked for the definition, it was said to her something joyful. So she spelled, and I think she was right, M-E-R-R-Y. And she was told it was wrong. It should have been M-A-R-R-Y. Now, whether you think marriage is definitely joyful.
That was not the correct definition. Well, Scott Reamer, I think that's how his name is pronounced. Scott Reamer, who is a spelling bee tutor, explains in his article for The Guardian that spelling is actually a science, and that spellers are quote-unquote word detectives who are gathering clues.
Right.
I love that. And it's because, like, the best spellers are analytical thinkers. They're language lovers who have mastered the basic principles of linguistics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by learning hundreds of Greek and Latin word roots, and then they master the phonetic rules of each major language that has contributed to the English lexicon. And this includes Latin, French, German, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, Greek, and Japanese.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And each language has very different rules, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Mm. It's like that EL pretzel example that they gave earlier, which is very different from the LE that we would use in English, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, and spellers are getting better because there's a whole cottage industry of modern B preparation, often driven by former contestants. And kids today have access to more private tutors and coaches, online study guides and word lists. Mm,
that's right.
Yeah, and even so, people now are questioning, was the B too easy? Some ex-spellers and spelling experts in the crowd at last week's finals thought so. So Rahul Walia, founder of the South Asian Spelling Bee in the US, said Scripps was just scratching the surface of words that could confuse or trip up elite competitors.
Mm. And by the way, you would have noticed a trend in the past two decades of the US Bee where it is dominated by Indian American kids. And this is because of the South Asian Bee that you mentioned earlier and the North South Foundation Bee, which are national competitions available to spellers only of South Asian heritage. Mm. Erin Howard was actually the first champion without South Asian heritage since 2007. And Erin is one of the eight kids that won this year.
And so to clarify, those two Bs, South Asian and North South Foundation Bs, are national US competitions. But it's limited to the South Asian community. Mm-hmm. And so going back to the idea of, whether the B was too easy or not, Pawan Dhingra, a professor of American Studies at Amherst College, wrote in an opinion piece for the New York Times right after the final. He wrote that even if this eight-way tie means that the B is broken, he feels that they shouldn't fix it. Mm. And too many winners is not actually always a bad thing. And, for the organizers, the Scripps, the most obvious fix may be to just keep making words harder and harder and just come up with more obscure words. Yeah. But Prof. Pawan thinks that that's a mistake. Instead, he writes, why not allow for competitive spaces that recognize sometimes more than one person is the best rather than reserving that for a singular person? We should want there to be more spaces for children to strive for excellence and to raise up that trophy alongside rather than always above their peers.
Yeah, I read this really lovely article about the champions where they spoke to the kids, and then the kids actually said, at the point where they realized, and once the rule change had been announced, that they weren't going to necessarily work towards one winner, the kids said then they kind of started hoping that they would all make it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really sweet that even in such a competitive environment, they managed to find this kind of connection and wanted to work towards a goal together.
I know. And I've noticed that it may be a generalization, but I've noticed it with children's competitions where even when you see some of them getting knocked out, it affects all the other kids at that level where they get upset when somebody else loses.
Yeah.
Or they feel really happy when somebody makes it through. And that's, I think, what's special about kids,
Yeah. But I think that's an important part of it, isn't it? You're teaching the kids to empathize with other people and to learn that just because you win something doesn't necessarily mean it's the best. It's important to also think of others. And that, like Professor Pawan said, sometimes it's just nice to have many winners to recognize that kids can do their best even if the results can be different.
So why is it called a spelling bee in the first place? I've always wondered.
I had to look this up, and one possible explanation comes from the official website of the Scripps Bee. They postulate that it could come from the Middle English word bean, I think, which means a prayer or a favor. Or you may be more familiar with the boon, that the other version of it. And so in England, a dialect form of this word bean or bean, B-E-N or B-E-A-N, refers to voluntary help given by neighbours toward the accomplishment of a particular task. Mm. And B then may be a shortened form of that. I don't know. I like the idea that it's voluntary help again, but it does seem to be distant now to the idea of it being a competition.
Because I know the word, so the term quilting bee, because my mom quilts, is very popular in America because it's used to describe a gathering of women who come together, who quilt together. Mm-hmm. And it's also a social gathering. Yeah. They eat and they talk and they quilt.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered whether those were similar because this is more competitive, right?
That's right. But its origins may not have been quite so competitive. Certainly not before ESPN got into the game. So, yeah, if you trace back... perhaps we should. I should do another show on the etymology of,
and then get people to spell it.
B. Can I have the definition? But do you think there's really any point to? I mean, if you're looking at all the things that kids have to learn today, is there any point to a spelling bee?
Well, maybe if you look at in this case, you know, there is an analytical thinking behind it. The kids have to learn the history of the word, depending on where it comes from, what kind of spelling that would mean. There's a whole history behind that. Versus, from what I remember back in primary school, we had spelling tests, but mm-hmm. that was more just the teacher would give you a long, long list of like maybe say 30, 50 words. Mm-hmm. And then during the test itself, they will pick 10, 20 words from there. So that in that case, that's just a whole lot of memorizing.
Yes, that's true.
That is actually the version of spelling that I remember from school, where you would memorize a list of words and then regurgitate those words. Mm. So I actually didn't realize until I was an adult that this version of the spelling bee, where you actually have to sort of excavate these words, existed. And I think that is very, it's a very cool way of learning to understand and appreciate language.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Interestingly, this the US National Spelling Bee allows contestants from six other countries as well, apart from within the US, the Bahamas, Canada, Ghana, Jamaica, Japan, and South Korea.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know whether the inclusion of Japan and South Korea is that, well, perhaps they won't be so familiar with English. And it's interesting. And how do they come about with those countries?
I wonder whether it has to do with the existence in that country of having spelling bee leagues, because not everyone does, right? It's not something we do here, for instance. I don't know many other countries around this region that do it either.
Mm. We actually do have some pretty long-running spelling competitions, but I don't know how they would rank up there with, let's say, the US league, you know? We have the RHB, New Straits Times National Spell It Right Challenge.
Oh, that's right.
I remember that one. And I've had friends who've had their kids enter, and it's pretty competitive as well. Yeah. Tuen, what's your favourite word? We were talking about this earlier.
No, everyone's going to think I'm weird.
A bit too late, but never mind. Just tell us.
It's exsanguination. Which
Can you give us the definition, please?
It means draining someone of blood.
And how would you spell that?
Exsanguina. T-I-O-N?
Well done.
Yes.
Well, it might just be because mosquitoes like to drain me of my blood. So.
And how do you use the word innocent? Okay. All right. Well, you know, just to wrap up, going back again to that spelling bee tutor we quoted earlier, Scott Reamer, he says that spellers learn to conduct themselves gracefully under pressure, and they learn humility. They appreciate the value of hard work, and they come to recognize also that even merit and preparedness have their limits, which I think are valuable life lessons for kids to learn in a fun, engaging way as well. And even a six-year-old child can display that kind of grace. Here's Akash again.
Akash will be remembered for redefining the word sportsmanship.
Good luck to all my fellow scouts, and thank you, and bye. I hope I'll come back.
So that was Akash in the 2016 Spelling Bee. He was knocked out at the preliminary rounds, I think. And in case you didn't catch what he said, it was, good luck to all my fellow spellers. Thank you and bye. I hope I'll come back soon.
I remember that, actually. Yeah. He's such a cutie.
He is, la. I hope he does come back soon. Maybe just a quick check on our poll for the Raya story.
Yes, so earlier we were asking you, what do you look forward to the most during Hari Raya? The majority of you, 63%, have voted food, mm-hmm. with 22% at family time, 12% for open houses, and 3% for Baju Raya.
Yep. You can keep the conversation going if you are not too busy eating the food. Tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or drop us a message on our Facebook page at BFM The Bigger Picture. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast on bfm.my/dailydigest, on our BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Front Row, we have a special festive episode of Speak Easy, which is about the tradition of Balas Pantun. So here's wishing all our Muslim listeners Selamat Hari Raya, Maaf Zahir dan Batin, and enjoy your ketupat and rendang. Here's M. Ishak with Hari Raya on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.